You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence
Taylor! Every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
Good Islanders Thursday.
If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
You're listening to DCR. We're live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Give us a call, 1-800-919-3776. Ask Dave how he's doing. He loves it. I'm Rick DiPietro. We got Super Bowl champ Chris Canty, who clearly has more in common with Dave's wife than we thought.
Dave Rothenberg nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, me too. And our multilingual driver, Dave Rothenberg.
Lots of Kevin Durant.
He speaks French because he's from France.
To say today's show was going to be awesome, let's face it, it would be an understatement. We're giving away $250 in the 6 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock hour. That's right, $500 are going to be given away on today's show and every one of these shows up through next Wednesday. Jacob deGrom lowers his already historic ERA and Mets fans' life expectancy all in only 3 innings. Mets make it 3 straight against the Cubs. Gerrit Cole, 8 really well-pitched innings. Another big win for the Yankees. Islanders pivotal game 3 tonight at the Barn. Nets look to close out the Bucks. U.S. Open, Dave, I know you love golf. Tees off today at Torrey Pines. And always on the Thursday at 6:45, we got Nobservations and Did It Happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let me hand the show off to our resident diva.
I'm the talent.
That is Dave Aloysius Rothenberg.
All right, I thought it started out slow, and I thought it got better as the Open went along. And overall, I would give it 2 thumbs up. I thought it was very well done. But I thought it was a little repetitive, a little slow to start, but it sped
repetitive.
Up as
we went. It was slow with the sounder. What do you mean repetitive?
Nah, I thought a little repetitive. We've heard some of those things again.
We've heard none of those. We didn't hear Welcome Aboard. Welcome Aboard has never been in the Open. The Islanders theme now is, if I got 2 words, if you're not down with the Islanders, which you're not,
if
I got 2 words
for you.
Be a shame if they lost today.
I'll stop it, please.
For the record, I completely disagree with Dave's take on the Open, Rico. I thought it was outstanding, and I, quite frankly, don't know how you're going to be able to keep up this pace, man. Every single Thursday, you keep up in the ante. Very, very impressive, my friend.
Dave's attitude right now. Mets win.
I don't like it either.
I'm in a way because the dogs. Because you can have them. Tell Ella I'm going to drop them off this morning, like 10:15 ish. I'll swing by. I'll drop them off. We'll include the puppy chow, some dessert, the cages, all of it. So yesterday morning, I awake to vomit. This morning, they're like, no. We're going to outdo ourselves. So 4:15 to 4:15 this morning, yelping, barking, crying, screaming. Fine. I go downstairs, turn on the light. I don't see vomit. I don't see it. Oh, no, there it is. There's the vomit. Great. So corner of her cage, vomit. Take them out. Fun. Now, I don't know if you guys have been, Chris, I know you have. Rick, if you've been outside yet this morning. It's a chilly morning, right? Like, it's not a warm morning outside. It's on the chilly side, correct?
It's a little cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how do you feel about getting hit with sprinklers dead in the face at 4:20 this morning? So we're outside. We get an alert last night. There's bears in the neighborhood. So I don't know if DiPietro has planted them. So I got my flashlight. I'm looking around. I want to make sure there's no bears. These two legitimate animals, one on each hand. And as he goes down in squatting position to poop, the sprinklers pop up and boom, all over. And I'm screaming, oh, come on, come on. He finishes the poop. I got to clean that. I'm soaking wet. Inside we go. Clean the vomit. Good morning. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah, that's not a great start to your morning, Dave. But don't blame us for that. Don't take it out on us.
Well,
that's
I'm not blaming
fair.
You. I didn't say anything about you.
No, but I know. But I feel like you're taking it out on your teammates, though, by disparaging Rick's Open. I just don't feel like that's fair.
Well, I didn't disparage it. I said I thought it started out a little slowly, and it picked up as it went along.
You're being overly critical, Dave. You're nitpicking at this point, and you're nitpicking because you're having a bad morning.
Maybe so. I think that's possible. But you know what? That's what's happening right now. I'm in a way. I mean, I got Jacob DeGrom leaving after three innings. I've never seen a pitcher pitch better in my life when he's not feeling well. Like I think in the three starts he's come out, I think he's had three shutouts in that time. But I am near panic, and I had a moment yesterday. So Ben graduated from middle school on Monday, but we couldn't go out for dinner. So we went out for dinner last night to celebrate that. And we go to this restaurant, and they have three TVs in the front. And we're sitting, you know, in the middle, but we can see where the TVs are. And DeGrom, ordinarily, I probably would have had them put the game on, but DeGrom, I have to watch. So I go up, and they have two TVs on the Yankee game, side by side on the Yankee game, and one TV on the Red Sox and the Braves. And I said to the woman behind the bar, I said, can you do me a favor? Can you take one of those TVs that's on one of the Yankee games and put it on the Mets game? And some guy says, no, I asked her to put the Yankees game on. I said, but they're on side-by-side televisions, sir. He said, yeah, but no, I like to see them like with every look that I have. You know, if I look to the left, I see them. If I look to the right, and I look him dead in the face, I said, this is very selfish. He says, excuse me? I said, this is very selfish of you. I said, you got DeGrom on the mound. You got the Yankees game on two TVs side by side. You can't put the Mets game on one of them? And finally, he's like, fine. If you always have to be right, if you always have to win the battle, put the Mets game on one of them. You can't disagree with my tact there, right? And then they put the Mets game on, and then DeGrom leaves at the end of three innings, and I get texts, and I'm upset, and dinner takes a turn for the worse. But that's what I got going on.
Chris, you know what's happening here, right? Like, you can see where this is headed. Like this whole like, oh, it's going to be so cute to get two puppies. Like they're going to enrich our lives and the kids are going to be happy because they'll take care of them. And that we're doing such a great thing. We don't want to split up the brother and sister. Like this is all headed down, I mean, a road where Dave at some point gets beat up by somebody. Like this is what's going to happen.
Wait, you think I'm wrong that the man needed the Yankees game on side-by-side televisions? How could you not take my side in this?
No, I'm taking your side. I agree with you 100%. All I'm saying is in that moment when you look at somebody square in the eyes and tell them that they're being selfish.
He is.
Well, you're
he
gonna
was.
Get punched, you're going to get punched in the face. Like you're not,
yes.
It's not Chris Canty at his size saying, hey, buddy, like we're putting on the Mets game. You're being selfish. This is you, Dave Rothenberg.
Right.
Like you're not the most intimidating guy.
No, but it's not like I was looking at a Chris Canty type of sized person and staring them in the face. It was a man smaller than me. And I figured if, you know, I got Ben there, Ben Strong. If this turns to some kind of a rumble, I could probably be okay against this guy.
Because that's what you want.
No, it's not what I was going
to see. You want to have your kids see you get beat up and he has to jump in to save you.
You've never seen me get angry, though. But no, I wasn't looking for that. I was just being honest. At that moment, I couldn't think of something more selfish. I would never do that. I need to be able to see the Mets out of each eye. What kind of a comment is that?
No, Yankees out of each eye, not Mets. You would like to see the Mets out of each eye.
No, I'm saying, but I would never say, like, no, we can't turn the Yankees on. I need to see the Mets out of each eye.
No. You will, because I want to see both. Especially when you got Cole and DeGrom on them on the same night.
That's right.
It's great.
Dave, that was three, and he actually says it, that every pitch in that third inning hurt. That was three perfect innings where he struck out eight.
And drove in a run, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Just sprinkling an RBI. No big deal.
Yeah, but I'm panicked. I mean, this is the third start this year, the second in a row that he can't continue and he doesn't feel well. Can we please shut him down for a little while, guys?
Well, here's the problem though with him is they let him do whatever he wants pretty much. Like it's hey, you got a your lat sore? Okay, you can, you know, we're gonna deal with that, but at the same time, we're gonna let you go take ground some infield work during batting practice. Just do whatever you want. Oh, your flexor tendon hurting a little bit? Now, you know, make your next start. Like, you don't think those go hand in hand? Like, you have soreness in your flexor tendon, and then all of a sudden you go out on regular rest and pitch, and are you surprised that his shoulder was sore?
No, and that's the thing. I feel like him the way I feel like when I watch, you know, Stanton every time he like runs the bases or plays the field or something.
Like last night, running to first base when he ran it to Vlad Jr.?
Right. No, yeah. But I'm terrified at every single moment with this guy because he's so good, because we've never seen anything like this. And every start, I'm like, oh, God. And you know what? It's happening too often now that he can't make it through starts because he's banged up.
Well, I mean, it's worked its way down his side. I mean, if you think about it, go back, right? It started with his right side.
Yep.
Then it
I thought it
down.
Started with his lat. Didn't he have a lat thing back in early May?
Yeah, they said side. But it was like right side. Then it was, this elbow. One's different. It's lower in the back. And now it's elbow and shoulder. So it's pretty much worked its way throughout the entirety of his right side now. And he still manages to go out there and pitch the way he pitches. I don't know what you do. I mean, I don't know if, like, I heard Carlin talking yesterday, or I saw him tweet something yesterday, like, shut him down till after the All-Star break. I don't know if that's the answer either, but because he's so important to your team. But, I mean, this is something we talked about after last start, where he had problems with his elbow. I know he's telling you, because, I mean, he's a competitor, man. He wants to be out there and helping his teammates because he's so, I mean, he's having a historic season. Like, he's on pace to have maybe the greatest season we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like he's going to slow down unless it's injuries. Like, I know you want to be out there, but, I mean, you're way too important for us to just let you dictate what you want to do. Like, you're telling me your elbow's a little bit sore, the way you throw? You're throwing 100 miles an hour. Like, and it's not even close. Him throwing 100 as consistently as he throws, there's no one in the league even close to what he's doing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he's special, man. And here's the thing. I know it's a fine line between making sure that the best pitcher on the planet is happy and you're handling them the right way and you have a good relationship with him, but you also have to protect the player from himself. And I feel like we're getting to that territory with Jacob DeGrom because, Rico, you mentioned it. Since early May, it seems like every week we're dealing with something, and now you've got consecutive starts where he's had to be pulled early or earlier than his production would suggest he should be pulled out of the game. And it just feels like the Mets, based on where they're at right now, being 10 games over 500, it just feels like this is a situation where you got enough cushion where you can afford to shut him down for a start or two. Like, I just feel like that's the direction that Rojas and the Mets brass should go in, because right now the only thing that seems like it can derail your season is an injury to the guy that's the front runner for the NL MVP.
But it's not like you're not getting good stuff. And even if you weren't, you have other guys that are pitching at a wild level right now. I mean, Stroman has been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Walker has been great. Peterson pitched well. Lucchesi has been much better. But, yeah, you have a lead in this division. I'm sorry. If I have to shut him down and do testing until I can do no more testing, I have to find out what's wrong with this guy. So I have to err on the side of caution every day of the week.
Yeah, but Chris, how many times has this happened to you, right? Like, during the course of your career, where it starts off as, one thing, like, my hamstring is tight, and then you rush back, and then all of a sudden, it's not the hamstring anymore, now you hurt your calf. Like, it's all connected. But I think you also have to take into account, Dave, like, we're sitting here talking as Mets fans. I was actually listening to something yesterday with, Trevor May was on a podcast, because I think a lot of people think that, Jacob DeGrom is kind of like this guy who really doesn't pay much attention, kind of like unassuming, like he just goes out there and does his job.
Right.
But May was actually saying they were in the clubhouse, and it was him, Loop, and DeGrom in the clubhouse. And they said they were in Atlanta. So the Atlanta broadcast was just like for, 5 straight minutes talking about how great DeGrom was. And then I guess, May looked over at Loop, and Loop's like, no, he's the greatest pitcher on the planet. And then, like, they looked over at DeGrom, and DeGrom was kind of gave it like this. Like, if you see me in the Zoom, like, kind of gave it like the, shrug, like, yep, yeah. That's right. Like, he knows what's going on right now. So, like, we're sitting here talking, like, what's in the best interest of the Mets, but I think Jacob DeGrom also realizes, like, what he's in the middle of right now.
Yeah, he's putting together a masterpiece season.
Yes.
Like, and you don't want to take that away from him if you're the organization. Like, this guy is at historic heights. Like, I mean, you have to compare him to the greatest pitchers of all time based on the season that he's having, because none of his contemporaries are anywhere close. So as an organization, you'd hate to take that away from him in any capacity. Like, you don't want to have him have to miss starts, and it's not anything that's structurally wrong with him. But again, if we keep pointing to different things here and there with every single start, at some point those little things are going to be something big, and that's the thing that I don't feel like the Mets can afford based on where they're at right now and the way this team is trending. Because you got a golden opportunity if you're the Mets right now. Like, this team is is right now head and shoulders above any other team in the division. And if you can just keep up at this pace and get into a playoff series with the top three in your rotation, I mean, listen, the Mets can do some damage. But if Jacob deGrom is not healthy, then all of the things, all the aspirations that this team has, all the potential that this team has, goes out of the window. Because you're not winning a playoff series without Jacob deGrom. That's not happening. So you got to make sure that you do everything that you can to make sure that this guy is around for the season in its entirety.
See, that's the thing too, though. I mean, we're talking about like, you know, historic numbers and everything else. But you know what you also have to look at too is what he's doing velocity wise from a starting pitcher. We never seen like consistent. We never seen anything like this before.
You never seen it ever.
No, ever. Like his average four seam fastball is like, you know, close to 100 miles an hour. It's like 99 point something miles an hour, which is insane to be able to. Go back to that Padres game. He threw 33 pitches, 100 plus miles an hour.
That's crazy.
Out of 80.
That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. It's ridiculous. So like when you're putting that much stress on your arm, like the littlest things can become big things. And I would hate in the middle of this kind of season for him and the potential for the Mets with where they're at right now, the way that they're playing.
You got to think big picture.
You have to.
You can't. And I know he's having a legendary season. And for me, guys, there is nothing more exciting in sports than a day that Jacob deGrom starts. I love it. Really. Like my whole day is planned about it. I made sure, right, to get the game on. I'm thinking about it. When are we going to go to dinner? Can I watch the first inning at home? All that stuff. But you have to err on the side of caution. You have to. He's too good. He's too important. So if it means shut him down for a little bit, then so be it. And fortunately, you're in a position where you can probably afford that for a couple of turns around the rotation. 800-919-3776. We'll hear from DeGrom. We'll get into the Yankees. Huge Islanders game tonight. Huge Nets game as well. This is a very busy Thursday. 800-919-3776. Little observations. Some did it happen in Florida. A lot of phone calls. A lot of sound. Oh, and by the way, cash. We're giving away that just cash today on the show.
$250. Is there anything better than fresh cash, Dave?
Nothing. $250 in the 6 o'clock hour, $250 in the 7 o'clock hour. And just to let you know, for my teammates, my great teammates to pick me up, as the show goes on, my performance very likely will continue to get worse and worse and worse. I have to go to the doctor today at 8:30. I'm not allowed to eat anything.
What, colonoscopy? What do you got going on?
No, just a regular like annual checkup.
But he's doing
all the blood work.
Prostate though too?
Oh, I'm sure that. Why do you run there?
Well, between that and the thermometer, something's going up there.
Yeah,
probably find one up there still.
Well, I don't think there's anything up there. But I'm not allowed to eat because they're doing all my blood work this morning.
So no protein bar this morning.
No, nothing. I am thermometer boy right now.
Yeah, but at least you get. I mean, 8:30 is not bad. Like I don't eat during the show. Like 8:30 is not terrible.
You have nothing until 8:30?
No, I don't have any. No, probably later than that. I probably have something like 11. 10:30, 11?
You don't eat till 10:30 or 11. You're up for 9 hours before you eat something?
Isn't that crazy, though, that we're up that long? Yeah, because I mean, I work out, then I'll do something after the show, and then I'll have a shake or something after that. The worst is when, Chris, how bad is it when you get that, like, the last surgery? Like, where you, like, your surgery's at, like, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and they tell you.
Oh, I hate that. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You got to be the first case. You have to be the first case, Rico.
You can't eat all day. It's terrible. Yeah. But that's what I got. 8:30 this morning. So, all right.
Don't lash out, please. Just be nice to us. Like, we'll help you
through it. I'm going to try. I can't make no promises, though. But the fact that we're giving away cash will put me in a better mood.
Hours into the open, and you destroy it.
I'm the talent.
You are such a diva. It's unbelievable. This podcast, these dogs, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Really? You think I'm a different person? I was on K yesterday. I was phenomenal, by the way.
I want to hear some of that. I got rave reviews that you brought it.
Really?
Dude, like I was so proud, and then I got you know, tweets about Peter and private jets.
Well, yeah, I didn't chime in on that. His I mean, just bougie. But I was legitimately furious with Peter.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to hear the audio from you going off on Rosenberg yesterday.
All right, so
you got a little Berg on Berg crime.
Yeah, Jew on Jew crime. I don't know that it was that it's ready for Marjorie.
I don't even know if I can laugh at that.
But you can laugh at it. So I'm driving, and of course, as we all do, we consume the K Show, and Don's doing his list, and I'm all excited because we discussed what it should be, and it was that. But I guess he's changing it a little bit, where it's now who are you taking off. So he revisited like the best performances in New York sports. And then he included Durant for one game. And which one are you taking off? Are you taking off Clyde? You taking off Phil Simms? Are you taking off Reggie Jackson, Don Larson? Like, who's coming off the list? And Peter, matter-of-factly, was just, well, you take Phil Simms off. I said, and I'm thinking to myself, you take Phil? He goes, I mean, Phil Simms. And then he goes as far as saying, Phil Simms was just Trent Dilfer. That's all. That's all he, and I'm thinking to myself, how? What and I legitimately I was driving Ben somewhere and I was like I was seething and he's like Dad, what's the matter? I said what a horrendous take. And then I texted Don, we get to a red light and I'm like, give me my phone. I know you're not supposed to, but I couldn't help it. I said, Don, if you take Phil Simms off the list, the list as we know it dies. I said, it dies. It no longer has validity. He reads that on the air, and then they say, well, Rothenberg would put any Giants, you know, great game on the list. He would put Kerry Collins week 5 on the list. And I'm thinking to myself, no, because Chris wanted to put Eli Manning on the list, and yes. I said I didn't think Eli Manning was deserving, right?
Which I still disagree with, but continue.
Which is fine, yeah. But Phil Simms, I think, had better games, just individual games than Eli Manning. But Peter starts going, oh, I mean, Phil, this love affair with Phil Simms. He was Trent Dilfer. He was a game manager. He was a decent quarterback. And I got furious with it, furious about it. And I guess Michael then said, well, let's get Rothenberg to join the show because he wanted to pit me against Rosenberg. And I destroyed him to the point, you guys would have been proud. I destroyed him to the point that he walked back his actual argument. But here is when I joined the K Show and I was furious at Peter yesterday.
You know that drop where Don says I'd smack your face dead? If I was next to you and you said that, I would punch you right in the nose. I would attack you, physically attack you. It because you're better than that. And it feels like you're being hot take Rosenberg. It's a horrendous take. Phil Simms is, like, if Phil Simms had another year or two of not getting injured, he was borderline Hall of Famer. And for you to have the gall, the unmitigated gall and stupidity to say that he is somehow, really, it's embarrassing for you. If I were you, I would just pack up and go home. You shouldn't continue to do the show. It's a terrible take, Peter. It's a horrendous take.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. That's that you came in hot. Like again, this
wow.
is this is a new you.
But I had to. I had to.
Physical violence.
I had to. It was such a repulsive take. And then he go, well, look what Jeff Hostetler did when Hostetler took over. They won the Super Bowl. And I said, you fool. I said, do you say Nick Foles was better than Carson Wentz? He goes, well, no, not at all. I said, well, Sim started the first 14 games of the season and had them undefeated through 10 games that year. Oh. Like he didn't even know what to say. Listen, Peter says stuff all the time that I disagree with. This was one of the few that I actually became visibly angry about because it might be the worst take he's ever had.
Well, that one hit home. I mean, here's the thing though too. Just so like if I were to make a point about the Giants that was as crazy as what Peter said, I would have to spend, especially if I'm going up against you with any kind of Giants point, I would have to spend like a month researching my point.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Because you would, I mean, you start going, oh, yeah, he had them undefeated through 10 games. Like, you know every single little detail about every single season. Like, he clearly did not do the kind of research that he needed.
No, he just flippantly dropped some stupid point that he's Trent Dilfer. I mean, and I get he was trying to take a dig at the Giants and the Giants fans and Phil Simms, but it was brutal. And I had to call and I had to defend the show. I had to defend Phil Simms' name. I had to defend the show's good name and all across the board. And I thought I was sensational, to be honest with you.
That's some of your best work. I don't know if Chris agrees or not, but I mean, that for me is some of your best work.
No, it's outstanding, but I mean, you went hard on Rosenberg.
It was
an
awful take.
That's harder than his new rap album. That was hard. Like, that was unbelievable how you went up and in on him, man. It would be hard not to take that personally, Dave.
I don't know how
Rosenberg and your relationship gets repaired.
No, I don't. I think that I can see the greatness of Peter beyond that one awful take. But in that moment, it was as bad a take as I'm telling you,
Dave. You better get ready for the diss track. I mean, this could be Drake Meek Mills type, like Peter Rosenberg coming at your neck. Be prepared for that.
But why? Why would he come after me? Because
you went after him. Are you kidding me?
I went after him because he had one of the stupidest points that you've heard in sports talk radio history.
And that's fair, Dave. Listen, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think he took it a bridge too far when he talked about Phil Simms being Trent Dilfer. But still, it's just like you, I mean, machine gun at Peter Rosenberg yesterday.
Did you not feel like it was a necessity, though? Like I had to?
Dave, I think it was important to point out how off he was with his take. But I mean, bringing up the smack your face dead and all of that, I just feel like
it was
just
too far.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, think about it. He took his take with Phil Simms a little too far. I mean, you had that same hyperbolic reaction when it comes to defending your Giants. I'm just saying.
But I thought it was uneducated, and I thought it was ignorant, and I thought it was dumb, and I felt embarrassed for him. And then what are you? How can people take anything you say seriously when you come out with a take like that?
It's dumb. Do they anyway? It's uneducated. It's ignorant. And it's dumb.
Dave, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but the delivery, the tact is important too. And I just felt like, man, you could have made your point without taking it that far.
Now think about this 4 hours though, Chris. I mean, you had this where he has a meltdown on the K show.
Yeah,
I'm gonna punch you right in your nose. Doesn't even just stop at Gall. Then he goes to, I mean, he takes it to the next step, wants to fight, and then he goes to a restaurant and he's trying to fight people that want to watch the Yankees game.
Yeah, he's got a lot of pent up aggression right now, and I don't know. I don't know if it's actually directed at who it should be directed at.
I mean, the dogs
are really the cause of all of this.
But I can't fight them.
I can't fight
them. I don't know.
Drop
maybe
the
just...
gloves with Barkley. First of all, he'd probably win. And second of all, he's a puppy. I think it would be bad form to aggressively go after a puppy with physical.
Why did you get?
Well, I don't think you have to aggressively
get
go
the
after
dogs
him, no
a day. Turtle?
I mean, just try to find where the bears are at in your area and just kind of let the dogs go.
Oh, but I couldn't
sacrifice the dogs. Then
no.
That's
well, listen.
That's
if
it.
There are bears around, I'd rather sacrifice the dogs than sacrifice myself.
Well, I tell you what. If I'm out there with the dogs and a bear approaches us. I will toss the dogs into the mouth of the bear before the bear come after me.
I'm 100% with you, Dave.
There is zero chance.
Which
listen,
is amazing
that'd be tidy.
To
that'd
but
be tidy,
saw,
right?
But you just saw that video of the woman that attacked the bear that was attacking the animals.
Right.
And you're going to run away?
That's right.
That's bad form. They had the old guy that jumped in the pond with a cigarette to save his dog from an alligator.
Let me tell you what I ain't gonna do.
I'm not those.
Let me tell you what I ain't gonna do.
I'm
jumping upon to fight an alligator over a dog.
I just actually did. You see the video? I don't know if it's recent or not. I was looking through Instagram yesterday. They had the video of the guy punched the kangaroo right in the face because the kangaroo had his dog.
But here's the thing: I am not going toe to toe with wild animals to save anybody that's not my kids or my wife. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it.
The kids would be devastated. You're almost like it's
I'd feel
emotionally
awful.
But emotionally, I'd
have to save
kids.
Myself. Do you think they'd be more devastated if one of the dogs got eaten or if I got eaten?
Dogs.
Yeah, you might be right. Vinny Jones says you were right.
If the dog
not
could drive,
close.
I would say the dog.
I think you might be right. He said one of the most uneducated arguments, and it was the worst. It brings out the ugly in people. You were 1,000% right. Lord Mike Grosso says Rosenberg isn't even a sports fan, so your attack was very valid.
Okay. Who knighted that tweeter? Was that Chris that made him
yeah,
Lord?
Yeah, Chris did it after he knighted Lord Pierce.
The Hawks when they were coached by Lord Pierce. Lord Pierce?
Yeah. Then he said to Mike Grosso, you are now lorded from Chris Canty. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into Jacob deGrom. And I didn't realize that I went so overboard and was too much on Rosenberg. So if that was the case, I do apologize. But it felt like it was necessary.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
You have this underlying nervous feel of, oh, God, you know, it's Jacob deGrom, and he's not right. And if he's not right, then the trickle-down to that is really horrendous. But it does take away from what has been a terrific run for this team right now.
Yeah, it's an amazing run. But again, I think we all realize the key to this team, you know, achieving what I think, you know, we all hope for, which is a World Series, or at least a long, you know, postseason run, is Jacob deGrom. I mean, he's the key to that at the top of that rotation. If, God forbid, something happens to him, and it seems, I mean, this is already the fourth time this has happened, Dave.
Is it the
fourth time already?
Yep. It's the fourth time, Dave.
Wow.
But, I mean, here's the thing. It wasn't all bad in terms of news on the injury front for the Mets yesterday. I mean, you got Michael Conforto and Jeff McNeil progressing in their rehab assignments. And you got to think those guys are going to be joining the team sooner rather than later. And if that's the case, then it makes even more sense, based on where this team is at, knowing that you're going to get some pieces back, that you would take this opportunity to shut Jacob deGrom down for a start or two, and then you reevaluate in a few weeks and see where he's at. To me, that just makes the most sense. There's no reason to push it right now when you're in the middle of June. I mean, you still got a lot of baseball left to play. You still got an entire second half. So it just feels like you should take this opportunity and let him take a breath, let whatever's ailing him, you know, rest, try to get cleaned up, get to the other side of it so he can come back strong and be ready for a postseason push.
And the last thing in the world, I mean, is you want at this point, because the team's playing as well as they're playing, and you got the lead you have in the division right now, is to do anything crazy. And I don't even care what he says.
Like, no, it shouldn't matter. But
no, he could tell me tomorrow, we did the MRI, no structural damage, and then he comes out and says, you know what, I feel pretty good. No, I don't care how good you think you feel. You said you felt good last time because you threw a bullpen session, which is not even close to what you're going to do on a mound against another Major League Baseball team. So we'll sit you down for at least a week, and then we can reassess where you're at. Because that's what athletes do. I'm telling you right now, it happens all the time. Oh, I feel good. Like in practice, I feel great.
It's a different kind of stress on your body when you're out there in a game as opposed to a practice.
Yeah, because it's controllable. It's controllable. Yeah. Like you're controlling it. Like you don't even realize you're doing it, but you're protecting yourself. And then all of a sudden you get wrapped up in the intensity of a regular game, and all that caution goes out the window. And that honestly ends up what happened.
I think you have to save him from himself. And I think that the Mets fan, for the most part, would agree with that. I mean, let's get to that. 800-919-3776. You're a Mets fan right now. Is this the move that has to be made? Do you have to shut this guy down? Even if it's for a couple starts, even if it's a short stint on the IL, if it's to the All-Star break, whatever it is the right move for the Mets to shut down Jacob deGrom for at least a couple of starts. 800-919-3776. That'll be kind of our jumping off point with the callers. Let's hear from Jake from last night. Tough to keep leaving these games game after game after game early all the time.
You know, felt good warming up, felt really good in the first and second inning. And then there in the third, you know, my shoulder was sore. This is getting old. You know, I want to be out there competing and coming out of these games with these little, you know, hopefully this turns out to be nothing. Me, I expect to go out there and give us depth. And, you know, I haven't done that like I expect out of myself. The bullpen's done a great job of picking me up, but, you know, I can't keep doing that to those guys, you know. So I think that's going to be a decision based on, you know, what we see tomorrow. And that'll probably be a discussion to be had, but the competitor in me wants to be out there. But like I said, it's frustrating leaving games early.
I get it, but my God. I mean, if you're not feeling well and you think of how important he is to this team, you can't throw him back out there on Monday not knowing. It's a second straight start. He's left early because either shoulder or elbow is not well.
Yeah, Dave, but if you're the manager, how the hell would you know based on how Jacob deGrom is pitching? You wouldn't. I mean, you have to be solely relying on what he tells you. The only thing that I would say is after he pitched in the previous start where he went six innings, like if he's telling you that something is barking, then I don't know about just getting back to his normal routine. I just don't. He's too important to this team's long-term success to just leave it up to his devices. Like this is not one of those do your own thing type of situations just because of the value that he represents for your club. So if Jacob deGrom tells you that something else is going on, and you're talking about the third thing in the last calendar month that's been bothering him, then you seriously got to consider shutting him down. I don't understand why you would allow what happened last night to take place.
He says these three injuries this season, I find this very hard to believe, but he says they're not intertwined, not interconnected at all.
I think it's three separate issues because I think the, you know, lat was something to do with a swing, and the elbow, I didn't think too much of. I like I said, I was pretty confident that was nothing, and you know, I'm pretty confident that this is nothing. You know, we did some tests and you know, kind of ruled out anything serious, and you know, going to go from there. The plan's to get it looked at tomorrow, and you know, hopefully check off that box where it's nothing, and just you know, get ready to pitch. Hopefully my next one. I mean, I guess we'll just have to see what tomorrow brings.
Yeah, but see, I think he's wrong. It may be because, you know, how I hurt it. Like, I hurt my lat because I was swinging a baseball bat. But now, all of a sudden, because my lat is sore or fatigued, now all of a sudden I'm putting more stress.
Right?
Well, now that's what happens. Like, you don't even realize it's happening because your elbow was sore. So the last thing you want to do is, you know, continue to do things that make your elbow hurt. So you start, you know, and it could be the tiniest of little things that now all of a sudden puts more stress on your shoulder. And now your shoulder's sore. And here's the thing, too. It may be Rojas didn't notice it. But, I mean, I was watching some clips after that game. Like, he threw a pitch to Sogard, and he winced. Like, he clearly was in pain in the third inning.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm the medical staff...
He fell off the mound a little bit, didn't he?
Dude,
I would
like
run
a
out
strange.
There.
I'm eagle-eyeing him.
Yeah.
Like, any sign that he's in discomfort, I'm running. I'm sprinting out there. Because he's the key, man. I mean, as good as this season has been, and it's been, I mean, it's been a...
You
it's
couldn't
been
have
fun,
dreamed
man.
Of this.
It really has been. This not even dream about. This can't happen. Like, their success, like, what they're trying to accomplish is directly tied to how good Jacob DeGrom
is. Yeah,
no,
the season is done. If he, and God forbid, has some kind of a long-term injury, you can pack up and go home. The season is done. Here is DeGrom. Have you ever thought about kind of shutting things down for a little bit and then bringing him back a couple weeks later?
Yeah, that's a tough question because I want to be out there every fifth day. But, you know, like I said, it's frustrating coming out of games like this. I expect to go out there and give us depth. And, you know, I haven't done that like I expect out of myself, you know. And the bullpen's done a great job of picking me up. But, you know, I can't keep doing that to those guys, you know. So I think that's going to be a decision based on, you know, what we see tomorrow. And, you know, that'll probably be a discussion to be had, but the competitor in me wants to be out there. But like I said, it's frustrating leaving games early.
But right there in that answer is exactly the problem, right? That's exactly the problem. I the competitor in me. Well, you know what? Sometimes you have to take the decision out of his hands. You can't let this competitive, phenomenal pitcher make every decision. You have to save him from himself right now.
No, you're right, Dave. And I think that the organization should listen to the player to the extent of him telling you what's hurting or what's going on with his body. But I don't think Jacob DeGrom is in a position to be diagnosing himself and saying, well, I don't think the things are connected and I don't think that, you know, it's the same thing or this issue is caused by something that I had previously. I don't need the player getting into those types of explanations, especially in post-game interviews. Like, I just don't feel like that's his place. Like, if he's not right, he can say he's not right. But leave it up to your medical staff to make the determination on what's going on and then what the plan should be moving forward. Because Jacob DeGrom is not a doctor. Jacob DeGrom is the best pitcher on the planet. Like, there needs to be that clear line drawn by Sandy Alderson and company to let Jacob DeGrom know he's not going to dictate how this situation goes in terms of the organization trying to protect the player from himself. Because he's too important to the team's outlook for this season.
Rick, I know you want to get in on this. Let me just do a couple of quick reads. Time to give your dad a Father's Day gift that he'll remember. Let the pros at Stock Car Racing Experience teach him how to drive a 600-horsepower, 160-mile-per-hour NASCAR on the 2.5-mile super speedway at Pocono Raceway. This is the real deal, my friends. Gift vouchers are easy to order online with instant email delivery and will never expire. Get behind the wheel and drive for only $299 or a shotgun seat ride starting at just $99. Visit 877-STOCKCAR.com or call 877-786-2522. Keep listening to find out how you can score 2 6-lap ride-alongs later in today's show. We'll give that away in just a couple minutes. And 98.7 ESPN has given away $1,000 a day over the next week. Later in the 6 o'clock hour and again in the 7 o'clock hour, be listening for the cue to call and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. You can also cash in by listening to the Michael Kay Show in the 2 o'clock and 5 o'clock hours, all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. All right, Rick, continue along.
No, I agree with you guys. I mean, you heard in that clip. I think that was the perfect clip to play. Like, we get it. You're a competitor. You want to be out there for your teammates. But, you know, this is, at this point, if I'm the medical staff, if I'm, you know, Sandy Alderson, we understand that, but we're not listening to you right now because this thing, you know, continues to happen. This is, you know, back-to-back starts. This is the fourth time this has happened already this season, and you're way too important. Like, with James Harden, like, you get it. I understand it. I mean, you're in the postseason. It's, you know, it's a game that you feel like you need to win. So We say we probably don't think you should play, but you come in and say you feel good. All right, you know what? We'll let you make that decision because this game is that important. We're not at that point yet in the Mets season.
Yeah, I mean, like with James Harden, you're close to the finish line. Like, yes. You're right there in the playoffs, right? With Jacob DeGrom, you're talking about having 100 games to go plus the postseason.
Right. And we've done this now. We've done something's not right. We'll let you make the decision. You go out there. And again, something's not right and you have a major issue. Or at least you have an issue. And he has to come out of the game after three innings. But I said this before. Rick, I don't ever remember a guy being hurt and dominating the way that this guy. I mean, he's not well last night and he goes out there and strikes out 8 of the 9 batters that he retires.
Retire? I mean, what he did was a perfect, perfect three innings. And that's what kind of makes it, you know, just so difficult, I think, for Luis Rojas is like, if something's hurt, you don't usually see a guy play, you know, pitch as well or play as well as Jacob DeGrom has been, you know, been able to do. But I mean, that just speaks to how great he is and the level he's at compared to everybody else.
It's incredible. Let's get to some of the calls. They're lined up here, 800-919-3776. James in Nassau. James, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's going on, James? We're all doing phenomenally.
I think you guys said something about how if DeGrom was out, like, if the worst-case scenario would be a wash, but I think that's the furthest thing from that, because at the end of the day, that would be very unfortunate, but he still only pitches once every 5 days, and the way these guys are pitching right now with Stroman and Walker, and then we got Syndergaard and Carrasco coming back, and then with guys like Conforto, McNeil, everyone coming back, I think this team's got so much heart that that'd be worst-case scenario, but the Mets could still get it done.
No, I don't agree. If I don't even like to say something like this, Rick, but God forbid this was something bad and he was shut down for the season, I think any chance to ultimately win the whole thing right out the window.
Yeah, but I don't. Was that his point?
I think
was
so.
I thought his point was that they can afford to have him miss a couple starts.
I agree with that. We've all said that.
Yeah, I mean that's what it comes down to. They've given them. You know, they have the luxury right now because they played as well as they played that they can afford to have him miss a few starts and still be okay. And the fact that Walker and Stroman have been great, and even Peterson's last start, Lucchesi's pitched well.
Lucchesi's been better. And,
so,
and sounds like maybe Carrasco at some point is going to come back. And the offense, right, Conforto, they say, is a week away now, and McNeil's not too far off. So it sounds like they're starting to get much healthier.
But if you're going to, this is what it comes down to. I mean, if you're going to win a World Series, which is obviously what we all want, what they want, Jacob DeGrom is going to have to be at his best to do that. And this can't be something that continues to crop up every couple times he pitches.
Mm-mm.
Like that, but that's usually why you rest somebody, right? Like you feel like I'm sure there were plenty of times during this season. I mean, we mentioned James Harden that he felt like, you know, I'm good enough to play, but if I do play, what are the chances that, you know, this doesn't pop up down the line? Like when I come back, I want to make sure I'm back for good. Like, that needs to be the focus now. Like, let's get him to a point where he's back and he's really back and we don't have to be dealing with this. This is 4 times. Like, it's way too early to have this happen already 4 times in a season.
Rick, do you think he's dealing with this because of the velocity and throwing, you know, 100 mile an hour pitches at the frequency that he is?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, do you ask him to change how he's pitching and not have it dialed up all the time? Or do you have him skip a couple of starts every now and again just to make sure that he stays healthy?
I do that.
Because I feel like it's got to be one or the other. I don't feel like Jacob DeGrom can continue at this pace, clearly.
I can't tell him to change what he's doing because this is what he's doing is historic.
Uh-huh.
I think that plays into it. I think he realizes what he's doing and where he's headed, and the last thing he wants to do is start missing too many starts or disrupt.
But he's got to realize, though, at some point he's going to have to miss a start because there's no way he can keep up what he's doing in terms of throwing 100 miles an hour pitches 20, 30 times in games.
Yeah, we never seen anything like this before. Let's go to Jay in Queens. Good morning, Jay. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, guys. I think you have to have him miss a start or two just from his response. He may be pushing harder in these games to go deeper, even if there is discomfort and issues that he may be having, so he doesn't feel like he's a weak link for the team. And with the season that he's having, you know, that plays into his mentality, like you said, of not missing starts and maybe pushing harder than he needs to. So I think you're right. You save it for himself, and you look at the big picture. He's up for MVP, possibly, and you don't want to jeopardize that in any way, shape, or form, in my opinion. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything that Jacob DeGrom could do where he would feel like, or his teammates would feel like he was a weak link.
No.
I think part of it, honestly, is you're out there, right? And he says, you know, every pitch in the third inning hurt. And yet, he's still having the kind of success. Like, the results are still there, right? Like,
they can't touch him. They cannot touch him.
He's not feeling well, and he strikes at the side.
Yeah, so, I mean, just think about that. Like, in your mind, like, you don't – You don't think it's anything serious, but you're clearly like your shoulder's sore, but it hasn't affected. Like, it's not affecting anything. Like, I'm still dominant.
Right.
So now you're kind of like, do I push through this? And then God forbid something happens. Or do I say, so I do give him a little credit that he was, I mean, he was aware and like self-aware enough to say, you know what, like this thing is, it's just getting worse. Like, let's just shut this thing down now because I don't want to screw it up more. But like, no one's going to question, not one person.
No.
And if they do question how much, you know, how competitive he is, we'll hang up immediately. Like, that's not in question right now.
No, we'll punch them right in the nose.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.